who was a co-worker with Paul, called Epaphras. And he'd gone to visit Paul in prison. And he said, "This is what's happening in my church." And Paul was absolutely delighted because the church was doing really well. So that's the scene. So Paul wants to encourage this church even further. They're doing well, but he wants to encourage them even further. So this is the verse. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in his inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom as sons he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now that's quite a big verse, but it's several verses, in fact. But I wanted to bring this because it tells us a lot about growing in God. So in verse 10, it talks about particularly growing in the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. So that's what we're going to concentrate on today. Now, as we know, God's knowledge of his will is freely given. Now, you would expect somebody like Paul, who's gone through an awful lot, to be talking about deliverance from the problems and the suffering, but he doesn't do that. He actually prays about gaining spiritual insight and being strengthened by God's power. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is he doing that? Is it because he's blocking it out? Does he, when he gets a problem, is he like an ostrich, puts his head in the sand? The answer is no. It's because he knows the benefits of knowing God's will in a deep way. Now, this guy, I'll just remind us for those that don't know, the things that he has been through so far is this. Five times I've received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, in danger from false believers. I've laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often been without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. So here is a guy who knows about problems. He knows about hardships and sufferings, but he doesn't pray for deliverance. So I'm going to look at Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14 in a bit more detail. And I'm going to take the verses bit by bit because I believe it holds some clues for us regarding how to grow in God. Now, Paul has four different prayers for them. First of all, he prays for the knowledge and insight of God's will and the purposes of God. Secondly, he prays for them to have a walk that's pleasing to God. Thirdly, he prays for spiritual power and steadfastness and patience. And then finally, he prays for a thankful heart for them. So let's a little look at this a bit more closely. So starting in verse 9, Paul asks God to fill the Colossians with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Now you might be thinking, well, if we've received God's will for us and we know the direction for our lives, well, surely we're good to go, aren't we? You know, we've got the blueprint. We know what we're going to do. God's told us. We've got his blessing. Off we go. Now, it's interesting that Paul is praying continually for that. Now, if we think about that in terms of a water wheel, now I've got a picture of one up there. There we go, water wheel. Some of them have paddles. Some of them have buckets. So this one that you can see up there has paddles, but they're scooped. And if we think about how a water wheel works, it's generally the wheel or the mill that it's attached to is placed either in a mill pond that's been dammed further up on the river so that the water flows a bit faster, or it's placed on an already fast-flowing river. So the reason for this is so that it works, obviously. So the water comes to the wheel paddles, like you can see there. What happens is the water fills the first bucket or paddle, and it pushes it slightly so that the next paddle comes. That then gets filled, pushes it slightly. Now, in the water wheels that have buckets, the buckets are generally constructed so that it tips. When it's full of water, it tips into the next one. And then the next bucket gets filled, it tips into the next one. Now, obviously, if that keeps happening, eventually all of the buckets or paddles are filled with water. It moves the wheel. And then the wheel keeps rotating round. So the energy that's produced, as we know, then can be used for things like grinding grain, sawing timber, pumping water. It can be used for all sorts of stuff. So if you like, if you compare this to a walk with God, when our spiritual bucket is filled, God has designed us to tip those blessings that we've received into somebody else. And then that somebody else, when they're full of the direction of God and the blessings, they tip that into somebody else. So when we're all doing that, as you can see, you know, it becomes an absolute pleasure. And, you know, we're all joining in community together and we all know the will of God for ourselves. So I believe that Paul talks about this and talks about being full of the will of God and the direction, because he knows that in doing that, we continually get the blessings. We continually have reliance on God. And I think that that's the crucial part for God. I think it's the fact that we need to be continually reliant on God, continually having that water flow. So there's other blessings as well. When we're completely full of knowing God's direction for our life, there's not much room for anything else. You know, Christmas isn't that far away, so we can probably remember being really full to the brim and thinking, I just can't squeeze in anything else. Now, when we're full with God's direction, there leaves little room for doubt. There is also the thing that there's little room to become spiritually blind. So that means that we have a good estimation of ourselves. We don't think more of ourselves than we should. We don't think less of ourselves than we should. We have clear spiritual eyesight. Now, on the theme of eyesight, I went to the opticians not long ago, and I was having problems with my eyes, and I was thinking, I don't know what's going on. My eyesight must have changed. My eyes were stinging. Also, my eyes were watering. And it's like, why every time I read something do my eyes water? So I went off to the opticians and he said, well, you're right, your eyes, there's something wrong with your eyes, but your eyesight hasn't actually changed. So I was like, well, what is it then? And he said, you are not using your reading glasses enough. So this is just for Mr. Optician Man. Here goes. Put my glasses on. That's better. So I have found that when I've made the effort to put my reading glasses on more, that my eyes don't sting as much. I don't have as much watering of my eyes. And God's parallel is much the same. So when we're full of God's direction and his will, life's surprises don't sting us as much. So there is a parallel there. And obviously when we have clear spiritual eyesight, we know where we're going, what we're doing, and why. So it's a lot stronger to stand, it's a lot easier to stand strong when things get a bit tough. Now, as we know, it takes a little bit of effort to spend time and discern the will of God, just like the bit of effort I had to do to put on my glasses more regularly. It can sometimes take a little bit of faith and courage, but I want to encourage all of us this morning because God rewards those that seek him. Also, we have different seasons in our lives. Sometimes we have clear vision of what God wants us to do, and that's absolutely great. Other times, it's not quite so clear. And despite our best efforts, we're like, God, I'm not sure what you're doing, not sure what your will for me is right now. And I want to encourage all of us just to keep going, just to keep asking, because God rewards those who seek him. And I believe that in asking that, God's heart is delighted because we want to know his will more. So firstly, growing in God means to be continually filled with the knowledge of his will. Now in verse 10, God goes on to explain why being full of God's will and discernment is so important, other than what we've just said. And in verse 10, he says this, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So the second thing is so that we can please him. Now, as it's January, some of us might have decided to think about faith goals, and that might be for the year ahead. And if you have, I'd like to reassure you that God is not constrained by how big or how small these might be. So I'd like to encourage us to maybe think what we'd like to do, what we'd like to achieve in God. But also just think, okay, if I was to have a little bit more boldness, what would I ask? What would I seek? So I'm going to encourage us this morning just to stretch our faith a little bit in that. Now, the second thing that Paul asked for the Colossians was that them living a life worthy of God was something that was going to exemplify God in their way of living. Now, personally, I so want to be worthy of the trust that God has put in me as a Christian. Now, I don't think of myself as a worm grovelling in the dirt. So don't get me wrong in that. My desire comes from being truly, truly thankful to God for what he has done in my life. And the best way I can serve God, I think, is to live a life that is pleasing to him, because he deserves it. Some people will describe this as getting to know the character of God more. And I know others describe it as living under the influence of divine grace. But either way, I want to live a life worthy of that grace. So secondly, growing in God isn't just being full with the knowledge of God's will. It's also walking a walk that is pleasing to God. Now, in the first half of verse 11, in the same scripture, in Colossians 1, it says this: being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So this is the third thing that Paul prays for the Colossians whilst he's in prison. He prays this because I believe that part of this strengthening is being fortified against temptations of Satan, but it's also to help and be fortified against spiritual oppression. Now, I know that the spiritual strength that God supplies is endless because it's according to his might and not our weakness. Thank you, God, for that. It's not according to my need. It's not according to my weakness. It's according to your might and your storehouses and your strength. Now, I want to tell you about a time I had about 15 years ago. And God commissioned me to do a certain work for him. And I knew that this work would be seen by others and it would help many. So I had a really godly desire to see this come to pass. God had given me his direction and I was like, great, I've got the blueprint. I'm going to see this through. I'm going to get it all done. And I was privileged to receive that. So I got on, I did the work. However, and this is the big however, when I'd finished the work and it was time to get it out to other people, I had a lot of oppression and I needed a lot of high level strength from God. Now, someone even tried to steal the work that I'd done. And as an upshot of that, I had to attend several court-like situations to prove that this work had actually been done by me and the work was mine. Now, for over a year, it looked like God's work that I'd finished would never see the light of day. It looked like it would remain buried forever. Now, sometimes we can think, if we're in this situation, how can this be? You know, God has told us his will. We've received a blueprint. We've received instructions along the way. How can this be? And I would like to say that if this is you, I want to encourage you today to take heart and to fear not. In my example, just like the water wheel we looked at earlier on the screen, I had to make sure God's water, if you like, was flowing the whole time, which I did. I continually made sure that I knew God's will throughout. But despite having the clear instructions from God on how to do this work, I still needed that continual input from God, that continual strengthening. Now, in hindsight, I can see that God had actually hidden this work from evil desires of getting hold of it from other people. And then when the time was right, he, not I, made the work known so that it could benefit the people that he'd asked me to do this for in the first place. So as you can see, when the time was right, there was even more glory to God because it went out in the way that God determined it to go out. Now, that was not expected by me, not expected in the slightest. But God said to me in this way. We needed to be continually grafted into the vine. I needed to be continually grafted into the vine. And just as a reminder, John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains, and I've underlined that word, who remains in me and I in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I learned through that experience that I could do nothing, even if I had God's blueprint for my life, apart from him. So I can't just take what he says and run off with it and go do it. I need to continually be filled, continually be strengthened, and continually lead a life that is worthy of him and pleases him. Now, in the second half of verse 11, it says, God's strength is given so that you may have great endurance and patience. Now, endurance and patience, that doesn't sound so good, does it? That sounds like a bit of hard work, sounds less positive, doesn't really sound like a blessing. In fact, sounds like it hurts a bit, might take a lot out of us, might not be pleasant. But actually, I think this is where the most blessing is hidden. So we must not forget to stand firm with endurance and patience. We need God to strengthen us. Now, I love verse 11 because it says this, God will strengthen us with all power. So let's consider that for a moment. This is a power straight from God. It's a power capable of holding the whole world in its hands. It's a resurrection power, a power capable of holding everything together, a power that comes from the King of Kings himself. It's a power that created every living molecule and cell in our bodies. And it's a power that expands the vastness of outer space in our universe every year. So if we go back to Christmas for a second, some of us might have bought Duracell batteries to go with toys that we might have bought for other people or relatives over Christmas for devices that you might have bought them. I was actually bought a power bank by a friend. And if you've ever come across these or not, that they're small devices that basically act as a socket, an electrical socket, when you're not close to one. So you can be out and about and you can charge any device like your phone or whatever, and it doesn't need a socket. So I thought, this is a great present. So I didn't even know that such a thing existed. So the person that had bought me this had put a lot of thought into it, and I thought, actually, this is going to be really useful. And if we compare that, that's absolutely nothing. That power pack that I received, that's absolutely nothing to God's power pack. Because he has a never-ending supply. My little power pack, it will last for, say, 2 hours, and then I need to go charge it again. God's power pack is never-ending, and it is a constant supply of power. So thirdly, growing in God means having endurance, but it's having endurance with that unending supply. That power that created every living thing. That power that is a resurrection power. That power that is capable of holding the world in its hands. That power that never ends. So, the fourth and final thing that Paul prays for over the Colossians is a thankful heart. And he says this, verse 12. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Thinking about God's unending supply of power is amazing. And for me, it's a deep source of joy. Paul talks about inheritance here in this verse. And I thought a bit about that, and I thought, is this just, you know, sitting with Jesus at the end of the world, at the end of days, however you like to describe it? But it's not. I had a look at this. It's not eventually sitting with Jesus in heaven. It's specifically, when you look at the root of the words used in the Bible, it's specifically an inheritance of God's light and holiness. God's light and holiness. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, verse 13 states how there's other reasons why we should be aware of all about what we've been talking about when we're growing in God. So verse 13 says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, rescued us from wickedness, and saved us from sin and the dominion of Satan and the damnation of hell." And in verse 14, it reminds us, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, some Bible translations talk about God making us meet. Now, we don't use that phrase, obviously, in general everyday language. And when they say making us meet, it's spelt M-E-E-T, there's a Greek word in the Bible, and it's, I won't be able to pronounce this properly, but it's ikonou, hikonou, and that's from the traditional Greek. And it means that it qualifies us to partake. It makes us utterly complete and lacking in nothing. So basically what it's saying is that God makes us utterly complete. He qualifies us to partake, and we lack in nothing. It also means that God's grace is totally sufficient. Now, when I think about that kind of grace, that kind of qualification, that kind of redemption, I feel joy bubbling up inside, because God's grace and God's joy starts to spring up. Joy in being holy through Jesus. Joy for the inheritance that he gives us all. And joy for all God, what God has done. And also joy for being redeemed and being made complete in him. So growing in God not only includes all what we've said, it also includes appreciating the inheritance we have and giving thanks because he's brought us into his light. So I would like to encourage us, because just as the Colossians church, they were doing really well, Paul wanted to encourage them further. I would like to encourage us further too. I believe these verses are an example for us to do the same. So I'd just like to pray for us now. God, help us consider whether we are growing in you and being continually filled with the knowledge of your will and direction for our lives. As your children, we want to walk a walk that is pleasing to you. May we be diligent in this. In your grace, please give us endurance spiritual insight and strengthen us with your unending supply of power to help us grow in you. Help us to appreciate the inheritance we have and give thanks because you have brought us into your glorious light. Amen. So, in this coming week, I would love to encourage you to have a think about this and have a think about any faith goals you might have for this year. Any goals that you think may help in your personal walk with God so that it's pleasing to him, so that you can be filled to the brim with God's will, so that we may be complete in him. Thank you.